welcome to episode 59 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about our different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy and Elizabeth. When this episode is posted, all of us will be in the midst of the holiday bustle, which is to say, we are all right at that point when we wonder why we do this every year and why can't we just go to the beach for a week? So, we thought it would be a good time to talk about holiday travel. Pros, cons, tips, and tricks for making holiday travel the best decisions you've ever made. And remember, we're not talking about that trip to Ohio to go see grandma. We're talking true vacations over the holidays. So let's get started. The one thing that always bothers me when people call me up and they say, I want to go away the week between Christmas and New Year's because I know nobody travels then. That's a myth. Lots of people travel and go on vacation during the holidays. Yes. Lots.
You are not the first person to cast aside the mistletoe and say, you know what? we're going somewhere.
In town. Yeah.
Exactly. It's very
true. It's probably about the busiest travel week of the year, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the earlier you book, the better.
Yeah, I think that's really important because it does seem like we get a rush of phone calls right at the end of the year. And actually, we shouldn't just talk about Christmas. It's also true at Easter and even July 4th week to a certain degree. Suddenly, those holidays, everybody looks at their calendar and says, oh, I could get away. Maybe I should book something. And it's four weeks before. And they're really surprised that there are no deals. They don't put things on sale when they're selling out. So, yeah. So don't expect, especially you might get sales if you book it early because they're not sure how it's going to move or they're trying to, you know, help boost the prices later on for last minute. So you're always wise to book that.
It always amazes me how people seem to think that, for example, like a cruise over Christmas or New Year should in their mind be less expensive. But it's over Christmas. I didn't think people would be going away. Well, get in, folks. You know, particularly for a cruise where it's, those things are included, you're having your meals made for you, and you know they're going all out. The crew is working on Christmas over Christmas.
Yep, they're going to be there regardless.
To your trip.
Yeah.
And then again, people think it's good. I'm sorry. Then again, people think it's going to get over New Year's, it's going to be not busy, also.
I think it's a popular misconception that winter travel is typically less expensive. For the most part, it is. It's more affordable. Mm-hmm. However, except from about December 15th to about January 4th, when the schools are out, it's just like summer travel. Mm-hmm. When the kids are out of school, the airlines and the cruise lines and any other tour operators, they're not fools. They know that people will pay to travel. And, you know, it's a very popular time to travel, and you know, availability can suddenly become very, very scarce, and that's when those ticket prices go up even higher.
Yep.
And because
some of the most expensive tickets I've ever bought have been sort of around that Christmas period, just no matter what I need to do for work or personal travel, most expensive tickets I've ever bought.
It's very true. It's sort of the same concept about flowers. Flowers always get more expensive at Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. And even if you have some other situation come up, a funeral or whatever, you're going to pay more because it's Valentine's Day or it's Mother's Day. You're going to pay significantly more.
So that being said, let's not deter people from traveling over the holidays because, you know, it can make a nice change. Thanksgiving, Christmas, it is all about family, but there is no rule that says you have to spend it at grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some great trips. I went to Disney World for Christmas, spent Christmas at Walt Disney World. Great experience. Not sure it's something I'd really want to repeat on a regular basis. Because we celebrated Christmas with about 6 million of our closest friends. Very popular time to go, but it was beautiful. It was all decked out for Christmas. And you know, it's just that special sort of sense and feel and very, very crowded. But there are lots of other places that you can go. I mean, resorts are very, very popular as a way to get away from it all. And of course, you can still have your holiday meals. Travel anywhere in the world. I mean, I know a lot of people who've been to Europe for Christmas. They're quite to spend Christmas or New Year's in Paris or London, another large European city.
I think one of the keys is to look for places that have limits on how many people can go. So in that respect, a cruise can be a wonderful choice because no matter how much it sells out, it can only sell out. Whereas, yeah, you know, and I guess technically Walt Disney World can sell out, but when it does, you do not wish to be there. It's, you know, super, mm-hmm. super crowded. So, you know, looking at, and it's the same thing. Maybe New York City isn't the place to go over New Year's Eve if you don't love crowds, because it will be, yeah, it will be crazy. But New York City is a great place to go at Christmas time, as long as you plan it well and don't end up in Times Square on New Year's Eve. So, you know, that's, it's sort of, you can sort of make some rules about where to go. And going to the Caribbean and Mexico over Christmas is a great option. And again, those resorts have a maximum capacity. And so even when they're full, you know, you might not feel like you're literally being, like you're in a mosh pit. It's not quite like that. So.
And there are certain holidays that only we only celebrate here in the U.S., like Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Europe over
Thanksgiving... Oh, they celebrate it in Canada too. I know this one.
If just you go to Europe over
different
Thanksgiving,
month, though, yeah.
it's going to be, you know, a different experience than if you go to Europe somewhere in the U.S. I mean, you go to Thanksgiving travel somewhere in the U.S.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, I think that gets back to the whole family thing. You know, we do say, well, I can't travel over Christmas because I can't be away from my family, or I can't travel over Thanksgiving because I can't be away from my family. Well, if all of your family is capable of travel, maybe they all want to go. And so that can actually be an excellent way to do almost a family reunion at the holidays, yeah, where you would have gotten together anyway. And in today's society, probably many of you don't live at grandma's house, you know, or near grandma's house. You might have spread out all over the country anyway. So if half of you are traveling to grandma's house, why don't you just travel to the Caribbean instead?
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of planning, you know, again, it you can't do that last minute. It's going to be hard to find a big group of rooms. But if you plan it ahead of time, you actually can get a pretty good price, even over Christmas, on mm-hmm. on a collection of rooms. And you can have a meal together that nobody had to cook and nobody has to do the dishes for.
And you can still take Aunt Sarah's fruitcake with you.
You could. And you can leave it there. You can see how fast it sinks to the bottom. Make it a little ocean game.
I know we've been talking about sort of the big winter holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas and New Year's, but I mean, there are a lot of other hobbies, and there's two points I'd like to make. I've traveled extensively, you know, around Easter, and I've run tours around Europe, and particularly when you get into some Catholic countries, and it's the same, very true in the Caribbean. I know, for example, the Dominican Republic, Holy Week, things pretty much shut down. You're not allowed to use you can't do sort of many motorized excursions, and people have to be aware of that. But I remember spending Easter Sunday in one of the most beautiful cities in Italy, in Florence. And it was a beautiful city, the first time I'd ever been there. But a lot of things were closed, and we didn't really sort of pay any attention as to what was really going on. So, oh, it's Easter Sunday. And many of the restaurants were closed. Those that were open, the prices were considerably higher for very small portions because they knew that people would need to eat, particularly those who were visitors, and that they would be willing to pay the prices because they needed to eat. Mm-hmm. So it was, and a lot of the museums were closed, and it was just it was a beautiful city, but we just didn't quite have that experience. So it's something to think about if you are contemplating traveling to somewhere where some of these big religious festivals are major time for family and for locals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it can be a great time to visit, but there's, you know.
You have to plan accordingly. Yeah, plan not to do anything on Easter Sunday specifically. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, the idea of if you want to do like an escorted tour or something, if you want to go someplace exotic that maybe isn't even going to be celebrating a holiday over that time, depending on the tour company you use, if it's a tour company that's based in North America, then a lot of the times they're going to run very limited tours during that time because they're going to allow their tour guides to be home with family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
spend time
so with that's something that I run into a lot is, you know, the family wants to go do something in an escorted tour, do something different. I actually was just looking at South America for someone, Patagonia area, And all of the escorted tours were not running during the block of time that they could go because it was right around, basically around New Year's. But, you know, there was only one tour running in that week, and it started earlier than they could get there. So so you do get some limits on, you know, maybe some sightseeing won't be available to you, things like anything that's manned by people who might want to take a holiday off.
But there are something, I don't want to discourage anybody from traveling to Europe over holidays, and don't be deterred by, you know, we're just trying to give you some information to consider. But one of my favorite things to do in the run-up to Christmas, for example, is to visit Christmas markets. Mm-hmm. That is, you can pick up a lot of unique gifts, hand-carved local handicrafts, and eat the local and the local food and drink the local beverages. And it's cool and crisp, and a hot glass of mulled wine, blue vine, really hits the spot as, you know, you're walking around in this twilight wonderland and smelling all these fantastic smells, and just seeing everybody else bundled up. And it's just really, you know, that's really, I've had some very good memories of things like that. And, you know, I've been able to buy things to bring back and, you know, some local chocolates or the local, you know, gingerbread or something like that to bring back. You can't get here in the States. It just makes a nice little, a nice touch to bring back for the folks back home.
You're making me hungry, Andy.
You're making me hungry.
Well, and there are river cruises that actually run. So if you want to visit several Christmas markets, you can do a river cruise that caters to that. And we'll make sure that you get to a Christmas market in almost every little town that you stop in.
And one of the things, actually, we've been talking in some other episodes about collecting. One of the things that the different Christmas markets often have their own unique mug that they serve with glühwein in. So it will say, like the Munich Christmas market, or the Nuremberg Christmas market, or the Prague Christmas market. And that's a nice little thing. They're pretty inexpensive. They're usually on deposit, so you can return them if you want to. But yeah, they're usually nice little mementos of your trip as well. So.
That's great. So, and Easter, it's important to remember too, for traveling. And this just popped into my head. Easter becomes very busy also with people who are traveling for spring break who may not actually be celebrating Easter, but that happens to be when their spring break is. So that's something to keep in mind. And actually I would tend at Easter, we talked about Christmas going to warm places and then of course visiting Europe for the Christmas markets, but at Easter, that can be a really good time to go to Europe. Would it not be? I mean, I think that's,
It's
nicer
often right
weather
at the beginning of the main travel season, so prices are a little bit more affordable. Mm-hmm. Crowds aren't as busy, say, in Rome or some of the other larger cities where in that summer, if you're not waiting for hours to go into some of the main attractions. But that's a very good time to go. Flights prices are often lower because the weather's a little bit more changeable. But you're right, it's a very, very good time to visit Europe.
Of course, avoiding those major religious centers like we were talking about before. So maybe not
Vatican
City.
I don't think
you
have to avoid them. I think you just need to be conscious of what's going on. Yeah.
Now, spring break usually runs, depending on where you live, between colleges and public schools and private schools, anywhere from 2 weeks before Easter to 2 or 3 weeks after Easter. So because it's a much larger time frame than Christmas, it's going to be busy, but it's not going to be as bad unless you're going actually Easter week.
Yeah, the exception is that Easter week, then it's pretty solid, busy. Yeah, yeah. And so if you're lucky enough to have a very early or a very late spring break, that can actually work to your advantage. As you get to travel without getting out of school, but but you're not paying the premium or elbowing through the crowds that you would have. And that could be a great time also to visit places in the United States. If you were thinking about doing that road trip or what have you, that's a good time to maybe, over Easter, hit the road. It's not as many people travel to grandmother's house on Easter as they do on Thanksgiving. And so you don't have quite as much road traffic as you do. And that is something we haven't talked about is let's talk a little bit about airports and holidays. Cause a lot of people, I hear people say, well, I'll travel on Christmas Day. Cause not very many people travel on Christmas Day. Comments?
Well, you know what? If I don't know about Christmas Day, but Thanksgiving Day, we used to lived in California and my family lived in North Carolina. So we would fly to North Carolina every Thanksgiving, and we would have to come on Monday for it not to be so busy. And one year, my grandmother flew up on my trip on Thanksgiving Day, and she said it was so much easier to get through the airport than coming on Tuesday or Wednesday. So it really depends on the people. Some people, I have two families who were traveling on Thanksgiving Day to go to destinations. I don't know. I haven't traveled on Thanksgiving Day in a few years.
Yeah, I think generally in the run-up to the holiday, for example, I mean, Thanksgiving's over several days. Usually in the run-up to it, you're going to see those are your peak travel, or the most crowded times, and immediately. I think on the holiday itself, on the Thursday of Thanksgiving, I don't think, because most people are at their destination, but they mm-hmm. make it a point to be there because they want to spend time. They don't want to be rushed. But I think that you make a very good point there. It could well be less busy on Thanksgiving Day. I think through the Christmas period, that's a good story altogether from what I've seen.
Yeah, and there's a tradition to be home Christmas morning, so you think people won't be traveling then. But there's also, with the way families are nowadays, and this is true with Thanksgiving too, your earlier morning, shorter flights will be much more crowded because those will be the people who had to work right up until Thanksgiving or right up until Christmas, and they're trying to get there in time for the afternoon meal. And so now, you know, if you're flying from the East Coast to Hawaii, no, that's probably not, because those people aren't actually trying to get there for Thanksgiving. That's, you know, that is
the goal. I wish my grandma lived in Hawaii.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I visit her every Thanksgiving.
All the time.
Seriously.
But if you're doing and that even counts for your connection. So if you've got, say, a Raleigh to Atlanta hop, that may actually be really, that part of your trip may be really a bit of a headache because a lot of people may be trying to get to Atlanta to see family while you may still be trying to get on to Phoenix from there. But, that short flight.
And the other thing to consider with those flights around the holidays, particularly, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's not
Mother
just
Nature.
The crowds you've got to contend with. Mother Nature can be a force to be reckoned with, whether it's rain, wind or snow or sleet or whatever that can cause flights to be cancelled. You've got a lot of people waiting to board flights and then suddenly a flight is cancelled or mechanical breakdown. And that suddenly adds a whole new degree of difficulty to your holiday travel plans.
I think that's a very common issue in the winter, is especially for people who are booking themselves. You go to Expedia, you pull up the cheapest route, you think, oh, that looks good, and you buy it, and you realize that for $50 more, you could have routed yourself through Houston instead of through Minneapolis. And that actually could make a big difference in your trip in the winter. If you can go south for a little bit more money than going north, it's well worth it. And poor Chicago O'Hare, I'm so sorry. I'm sure you're a lovely, lovely little airport. Don't try to fly through it in the wintertime. It's just begging for trouble. And I know plenty of flights get in and out of there, and they work very hard there to make sure they do, but...
I try to suggest to clients, and I try to do it myself when traveling during the winter months, especially during holiday periods, get travel insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, oh, very much so. And the other thing, that people just, if you are having to travel around this period of time, just be patient. Mm-hmm. Just relax. Even if something does crop up, it make that trip a whole lot easier to handle, particularly if children with you. Mm-hmm. You know, it just take the rough with the smooth and just deal with it. We'll all get there eventually, and the poor beleaguered airport workers, you know, having to deal with canceled flights and irate travelers, they just treat them with a little bit of kindness and be patient and just relax. And
they're working on the holidays.
And they are working on the holidays. All will be well.
Mm-hmm. I have found that the busiest day to travel for me personally is the day after Thanksgiving. Because you have people that might have come in a few days earlier that have to get home. That to me, if at all possible, I try to avoid traveling the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I actually try to avoid those. I will wait and leave Monday or Tuesday if possible. Because even Saturday and Sunday can be, Sunday is very bad as well. because that's the day that everybody has to get back to work on Monday. So if you can stretch that to Monday or Tuesday, I find that that works out much, much better. We've gone to San Francisco to see my sister over Thanksgiving. We usually try to do that, come back on Monday or Tuesday. So
my kids can't take off, so we're leaving on, because they're taking too much time off. We're leaving Saturday this year, so I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. Yeah, and as someone who travels over Christmas, I travel over Christmas every other year. We sort of made a tradition of it, and the first year we did it, everybody thought we were really crazy, and I had very personal reasons for doing it. And I would thought we might be a little crazy too, but we actually took a cruise, and that's what we've done mostly. This year we're mixing it up. We're going to Hawaii, so I'll let you know how that is. But going on a cruise or going to a resort, they still hold a lot of holiday traditions on that ship. So there was a Santa Claus on the ship. There was a traditional Christmas dinner provided in the dining room. They did a special dinner for that. So,
That's cool.
So if you're really worried about tradition, most of the strongest traditions that a lot of people have are there. If you have individual family traditions, you may need to work harder to make that happen.
Yeah.
In general, the major ones are represented. And I know, I'll give a shout out to Royal Caribbean. They will give gifts out to the kids, and they actually had them sort of age appropriate gifts. So different ones for teenagers versus the littler kids.
Different size lumps of coal.
Yes, exactly. Depending on how good or bad. My kids were really freaked out because they knew exactly how good or bad.
I think that would be really cool to see the reindeer and sleigh land on a cruise ship.
It's tricky, but they do it. And I think it's their favorite stop because, hey, it's a cruise ship. So, it is. It's definitely not a typical Christmas feel. But then again, I live in North Carolina, so I can count on one finger the number of times I've seen snow on Christmas Day. So maybe it's not that different after all. but it's very rewarding, and it's really nice to be able to get out of Dodge. And, yes, I miss my friends, and occasionally we'll miss a really great party or two. But at the same time, we do really get to relax and get away from it all. And that is a time where you really can sort of unplug.
And that's exactly what travel is all about, regardless of the time of year. It's about disconnecting. Mm-hmm. It's about spending time with loved ones and friends and family. And if you can make that work at a different and unique destination over a traditionally busy time of year, and there are deals out there to be found, call your travel agent. We'll be glad to help you find something that works for you. There's definitely something out there for everybody, and just change it up a little bit. Don't be afraid to do that.
But give us a lot of notice.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Make new traditions.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Well, that is our show for this week. And I want to put a plug in for us. Call us soon to book your travel for 2016. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And you can even email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Andy, Elizabeth, and myself, Robin, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.